Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here. Getaway Friday, March the 12th, 2021, 15 minutes past the hour. Talking before we went to break there about deviled eggs. Deviled eggs. You know why this is such a conversation? Is because everybody likes deviled eggs. I've never ran into somebody who did not like them. They are at every potluck you ever go to. And they are one of the few things that when you take them to a potluck, they always get polished off. There are never any left at the end of the potluck. 740-383-9944. Go ahead, caller.
Hi. Just to add to the lady's suggestion about the deviled eggs, everything that she said, you take to that, like to leave them set on the back of the stove for at least 15 minutes. Then you pour the hot water off. Now you got a lid on it. You pour the hot water off, and then you shake the pan to crack the shells, and then you put the cold water on to cool them down, because if you break the shells before you put the water on, it will it just helps to peel them. So, yeah, everything she said was fine up to when the time's out, then you pour the water off, the hot water off in the sink, put the lid back on, and shake the pan, and you're shaking the pan so that they can crack the shells, and then you fill it up with ice cold or cold water till the eggs cool down, and if you've got... You don't have fresh eggs, I can guarantee you they will peel very nicely. And you might try this, Scott, before you're going to take them out to company. You might do two or three for yourself just to see if it works like that.
Now, you know, I believe I have tried, because this has been a long-term problem with me.
Yeah.
I think I have tried the put them in cold water thing. And for some reason, when they break, I can get the shell broken okay, but it's the peeling that becomes the problem. For some reason, when I'm peeling that off, it still comes off kind of like old paint.
Well, yeah. I know one time we done 15 dozen to make potato salad for a dinner with fresh eggs, and we were peeling them with tweezers. But anyway, if you pour that hot water off, put the lid back on and shake the pan so your shells break, and then fill it up with cold water, and then you can go ahead and peel them. And if you've got eggs that are at least a week old, they should be fine.
Now, have you heard of these containers that you crack the egg before you even boil them?
I've seen those, too. But then I've seen the ones where you can put four eggs in and put them in the microwave. They don't even have to be broke. But I think it's like all these gadgets I got sitting around here that's supposed to make things easier. They suck me in. I buy them, and then I look at them, and hell, for crying out loud. Then they go to Goodwill.
They end up there like so many other. Well, hey, thanks for the advice.
Yeah, but make sure you, after you pour the water off, put the lid on and shake them real hard to break the shells, and then fill it up with cold water to cool them down.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Well, you know, I appreciate any advice. And now I think old eggs is really the advice we're getting here. Use old eggs. Now, most anything in my refrigerator is probably old. There probably is not a whole lot of new stuff in there. So I would guess any egg that I have in there is probably old, but there is something about peeling those eggs that just does not go over big. Go ahead, caller.
Sounds like an exciting story you have there.
Oh, boy, this is community radio this morning at its best.
I haven't been able to listen for the past couple days. Has there been much conversation about Judge Warner?
Well, actually, yes. We had Police Chief McDonald on the morning, I think the morning the verdict came down, but he was on before we knew the verdict. And then yesterday we had Ray Grogan and we had Matt Bales on, and they both gave their thoughts on it, and we opened up the phone lines, and so there's been a lot of talk.
Did you get any attorneys' take on it? Because they're the ones really, I think, more so directly associated with it.
Well, I think the two we had on yesterday to get their reaction, Ray Grogan, who's obviously an attorney.
Well, I think a private attorney, not a public.
Well, you know what? What I liked about these two was nobody has worked closer with Judge Warner in the last few years than Ray Grogan. Nobody. And the sheriff said when he was on, Matt Bales, the new sheriff, that he has known him and worked with him for many, many years.
Well, it sounds like Todd Anderson did as well.
Well, yeah, I think they were friends, certainly.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't, I guess what I'm not, you know, and we had a mixed reaction yesterday, because when we opened up the phone lines for people to talk about it, we had people who were very, very upset about, there were people upset at what they did, but then there were also people upset at the scrutiny that they were put under, and they haven't been sentenced yet, and they won't be until the 15th, but people are already making assertions about that, and it's an interesting time.
Well, people should be upset. Here's somebody who has held himself out to be a law-abiding citizen and is supposed to be a judge, and he clearly demonstrated poor judgment, period. And it's like I think what Yost had written, the Attorney General, that here the cover-up was worse than what the actual offense was. It was an accident, and they chose to cover it up because of probably, pride, you know?
Well,
and it's a rotten shame. But
why they did that, I don't think we'll ever really know until it comes out of their mouth. I think there's a lot of speculation as to why they did what they did. Certainly it was not the right choice. But I think also, though, that what bothers me, and I was trying to figure this out yesterday, what really bothered me was we got tremendous reaction on our social media page when we ran this story. And the things that people comment, and I know, just by the sake of odds, that 90% of the people commenting on this have never met the man, and they are just making an assumption, and the vitriolic responses toward him. You know, you can dislike what he did 100%, and I'm sure a lot of people do. And he is going to pay in some way. I mean, he could go to prison. He could get probation. He's never going to be a judge again, being a convicted felon.
I don't think he's going to be practicing law.
Right. So there's going to be consequences. We know this. But the vitriolic responses that people had about this is still a human being. He obviously exercised poor judgment in a lot of people's cases. Thank goodness the boy, the young man, Colton, was not killed, thank goodness. But, I don't know where this, I don't think before social media we would have seen this. And I think it's very easy to jump on a keyboard and say these things about somebody. You know, their lives are in a terrible shamble right now. And, do we need to pour on? It's already in a shamble.
Well, it serves as an example that the system can work. It doesn't always work, but it can work. And, it was just, it's expensive for what has happened when someone could have said, hey, look, we've had an accident, et cetera, called 911 and owned up to it. The consequences would have been far less than what they've experienced now and cost in their own trial. Not to mention, you know, if both or one, whatever, end up in prison, it's costing the taxpayers more.
But, you know, here's the problem. Okay, and I'm going to blame away from this case for a second, because this is a fresh case. This was just decided 48 hours ago. You know, there are people I'm going to just give you two cases without giving names, and people might know who these people are, but I don't want to say their names. There is somebody who I know in Ohio who had felonies, obviously not murder because they're not in prison right now, but they had felonies more than a decade ago. They're still paying for those today with not being able to get housing, not being able to get certain jobs. 10 years later, after rehabilitating their life, there's somebody locally here in Marion who was convicted of a felony, never served a day in prison, did probation, and to my knowledge, since then, has not had, there have not been any more convictions. But yet, when this person's referred to by certain people, they refer to them as convicted felon, and then they say their name. And I think, you know, at some point, we got to put down the baseball bat here. You know, at some point, are we a society that forgives people? Are we a society that you take this to the grave? I don't really understand that. How do we ever expect people to get any better or learn from anything if we're going to beat them over the head for the rest of their life?
Well, the Scarlet Letter.
Yeah, well, you know, I just hope, because I'm sure if you would have asked the judge the day before that happened, if he would ever do something like that, or that he would ever end up being a convicted felon, I'm sure he would have said adamantly no. And I think we would all say that too. But life does strange things. People make mistakes in panicked moments, bad decisions. Clearly this was one. I'm not their defense attorney. And they will pay a price. But I don't think anybody ever thinks they're going to end up this way. Who would choose to end up this way?
Well, nobody in their right mind, for crying out loud. F. Lee Bailey once said that when people are in pressure in the jaws of life, you've got pressure on you, and you never know what they're going to do. But I think it helps that they are tried, they were convicted, they do have their appeals. Whether they will or not, another issue. But the fact of the matter is, it should be a lesson for the entire community that, hey, look, own up to a mistake. It may seem bad at the time, but for crying out loud, when somebody's life is in extreme potential of death, don't run away from an accident.
No,
own up to it, you know?
It was a horrible, horrible decision. No doubt about it.
Oh, and they're paying the price for it, so
and they are
everybody
paying the price.
Listening. Hey, you make a mistake. We all make mistakes. Some are worse than others. As long as there isn't a life at stake, own up to it. Take your lumps now, because the cover-up, you're going to really be in pain for some time.
We shall see how it goes. Well, thanks for calling.
Getaway Friday.
Bye-bye. Exactly.
It is a Getaway Friday, but, you know, and I like a show like we do here, because we can go from deviled eggs to the Judge Warner trial, and I know people have strong feelings about that, and it's not my position to defend him or come on here and say bad things about him. I just think at some point we have, where does all this internet anger come from? That people have about somebody they don't know. You know, it's not it was a horrible decision to leave that night, obviously. And people are going to pay for this. But this whole idea that everybody and their uncle can just say the most horrible, nasty things, and that's fine, and I don't know. You know, I don't know if that's exactly what the internet was put there to do. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. If there's anything you want to comment on, if you want to say anything about the Judge Warner situation, you know, even though we've talked about that a lot in the last couple days, we certainly can talk about that now, or we can talk about deviled eggs and my continual issue with them not being able to get the shell off. But has anybody bought these egg containers? Because I was warned by the cashier at Ollie's to spray them. Because if you don't spray these containers before you boil them or put them in the microwave, apparently there's going to be a long-term problem getting these eggs out. Isn't there always a problem? Oh, now here's a question I have. Now, this is just maybe a helpful hint. Maybe this is something I should ask Heloise about next time she's on. When you are cooking on a skillet, let's say an electric skillet, when you're cooking on an electric skillet, something that's greasy, such as hamburgers or, probably hamburgers are one of the greasiest things people cook on an electric skillet. What's the best way to clean that? Because, you know, you use the dish soap and you still end up with a horrible mess. Your dish towel gets all greasy and caked up with grease, and it's very hard just to put soap and water, and you can't really soak an electric skillet unless you have a huge sink. I guess you can go soak it in your bathtub if you have that. But what is the best way to clean an electric skillet that has a lot of grease on it? Is there any tip in that? Because that's a practical problem that a lot of people have. And I have never been able, I've used different types of soap, and you don't want to use certain types of cleaning utensils on it, because you can scrape stuff off of it that you don't want to scrape off. Some of the non-stick surface that's on there. So does anybody know how to clean something that's really, really greasy? Like, I know people have this problem when they cook like a big pot of sloppy joe or a big pot of taco meat or something like that. How do you get that pan clean? Do you just have to sacrifice the dish towel, get it all greasy? Or is there anything to it that will break that all up and not clog your sinks? Let me know. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give me a buzz and we can discuss it. You know, I did not realize that we're getting very close to Easter. So this egg conversation is kind of pertinent with Easter right around the corner. Although, do people really eat boiled eggs anymore? Hard-boiled eggs, you don't see a lot. I don't see a lot of people eating the hard-boiled eggs. Now, I remember, well, we'll take this call, and then we'll come back with more here. Stay tuned. Go ahead, caller.
I like to eat hard-boiled eggs. I like to have boiled eggs with bacon, lettuce, and tomato sandwiches. But getting back to your grease and your skillets, I like to dip out, if there's a lot of grease, dip it out and put it in a can and let it solidify and then put it in the garbage. And then what's left in the skillet, I soak it up with paper towels and then wipe it with the paper towels. And then in the case of an electric skillet, you can then put a little water in there and your dish detergent and turn it on warm and let it get let it warm, and then you can wipe it out with your paper towels and clean it real good that way.
Oh, so you take the grease off before you even start to wash it?
Yes, correct.
Well, that's an interesting idea because I you know, especially with the pots, which I've noticed, like when you make sloppy joe or you make taco meat, when you finally eat all that, even when you try to dump out what excess grease is in the pan, it is very hard to clean that without getting that dish towel all greasy, without getting grease all over your sink.
You got to keep it away from your sink because that builds up. Believe me, I've had that experience. You can see the inside of your pipes.
Well, and you know, is there any way to, because I know they sell all this stuff in the store, I wonder if there's any good way, any sneak trick to unclogging those pipes?
Well, I just had a plumber here, and I had take my pipe, it was leaking, so I'd take them apart and thinking, well, I'll get a new washer and put up in there and it'll be fine. But evidently I didn't get them back together good. But when I had them apart and saw the insides of them, oh, it was terrible. I had to clean them all out. And then I asked him, I said, what can I do to keep all that out of there? He said to at least once a week or so to pour vinegar down your drains.
Oh, vinegar?
Yeah, you said to pour vinegar down the drains.
Now, if you have, like, a big clog and you pour vinegar down it, do you think that would break it up?
Now, if you put some baking soda in there and then pour vinegar, it will bubble up. It'll just bubble up like one of those lava projects kids do for science.
Uh-huh.
And that will loosen it up.
Is that right? Because, you know, when it's been down in the pipes for a while, when you try to bring it, really, it's just black and it's gummy.
When it gets real bad, you're just going to have it snaked or replace the pipes.
Yeah, and you know, that's a rough project. But, you know, it's especially horrible with a garbage disposal.
Oh, I've never had a garbage disposal. I've always been afraid of getting my fingers in that.
You know, that is a paranoia. I have a garbage disposal, and, you know, because it's just an easy switch to switch that thing on. And any time I ever had to put my hand in the drain, even though I know I'm nowhere near that switch, it does make you think for a second.
Yeah, I would be, like you said, I'd be paranoid.
Oh, you're exactly, yeah. So you say wipe the grease off beforehand?
Wipe all the grease out that you can with paper towels.
No, I'll work on it, because I've got an electric skillet waiting on me at home from last night that I'm going to have to clean today. Now, I did buy this new dish soap that comes, I'm trying to think of what, but it was supposed to be a heavy-duty dish soap, so we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, Dawn works really well, just like the advertisements say.
I think most people probably have the Dawn soap in their house right now.
Yeah.
Hey, well, thanks for calling.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, there you go. Any other tips for cleaning grease off an electric skillet or out of a pan where you've cooked some kind of meat usually? And it kicks up, and it can wreak havoc with your pipes and all kinds of other issues. You know, it's the dish towels that drive me nuts, because then you try to throw them in the dirty clothes, and if they touch anything else, it gets all greasy. It's a mess. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, your grease situation.
Yes.
This is not something that I have tried, but I have been seeing it cycle through Facebook. People will put oatmeal, uncooked oats, pour it into the grease, let it sit overnight or a few hours, let it soak in, and then you can feed that as a suet to birds or critters outside. I don't know how well that works, but I usually let mine just harden and scoop it out with a spoon and throw it in the trash that way, instead of putting it down the sink.
So you put oatmeal on the grease?
Yep. While it's still liquidy, and let it soak it all up, and then you can put it in like a little cupcake pan, or you can add fruit to it, you know, scrap food, and give to the squirrels, the birds, whatever.
Oh, we hope
but
the birds...
I've not tried that.
I'd be afraid, like, the birds and the, all the things outside might have heart attacks.
Well, I mean, during the winter, they probably need that, that extra bit of fat. So maybe during the winter it's a good thing. Who knows?
You know what? This has
been I did look it up, and it is safe because I was worried about that.
You know, this has been this is kind of off the beaten path here, but it's very strange to me that, you know, all these diets that are popular right now, like the keto and the Atkins and South Beach and all those, they tell you to eat all this meat. Now, from my understanding, when you do that, your blood pressure does go down, your cholesterol count does go down, your diabetes numbers do go down, but I wonder, what does it affect your heart? I don't know. Is it more about the starch and the sugar, or is it the meat? I don't know.
I have known people that have had a lot of success with keto. I've also known a couple of people that ended up at the ER because it threw something off. I don't know what exactly it was, but I'm not... I really think if you cut your sugar and your carbs, that that's the key, and just kind of watch your calorie intake and... You know, balance is the key, I think. Easier said than done.
Well, you know, people always say balance, but I'm not really sure how people do that. Because I when you go out and eat, is balance just eating what they give you? Is balance eating a portion? Is it, isn't it all relative to what you normally eat? I mean, if you go to McDonald's and you get two Big Macs, is it just cut down to one?
Portions, when we go to restaurants, our portions that we're given are so extremely big. I mean, when you consider a portion of meat should be about the size of a deck of cards. How often do you get that size in a restaurant? I mean, I think it's the culture. A lot of it is the culture that we live in, and we're all about quick and easy, and makes things hard.
Well, you know what? And most people, because it makes me think about the gym in a way, most people will, because I hate to say flat out lie, but most people are dishonest when it comes to most things, because I know people who eat a ton and eat a ton of the bad stuff, and they go to the gym, and that certainly does help them lose weight. I don't know if it helps them health-wise, as far as if you're a diabetic and you're still having a gallon of chocolate milk a day, even though you're working it off at the gym, I don't know if this is going to end well.
Yeah, you're going to pay for that. In one way or another, you'll pay for it.
Well, I tell you one funny story real quick, and it's kind of off this, but, you know, I know somebody who is tan all year round, and I'm not talking about a light tan. I'm talking about a dark, dark tan. You know,
right.
like the color of... Yeah. You know, it's definitely not just a light tan. And this person swears they do not go to the tanning bed or are not rubbing this fake tan on themselves. Now, I'm telling you, nobody living in Ohio, after the winter we just had, where you are not outside doing anything, and there certainly is no sun out there anyway, from November until this month, can maintain that type of tan for 5 months. I mean, I don't care what kind of blood you've got in your system or pigment. It's just impossible. But people will tell you that that's a tan.
Well, like, why lie? I mean, if that's how you prefer to present yourself, just admit that you enjoy the tanning bed and go on with your life.
Yes, if you're going to the tanning bed or you have one of those fake tan things, and a lot of those have gotten better over the years to where they actually do look like a tan, if that's what you prefer, that's fine. I don't understand why people just don't say that.
I agree. I know someone very similar. She's tan all year round. And, you know, when Thanksgiving, Christmas comes around, I think it looks kind of freaky in Ohio to be that tan, but it makes her feel better about herself, so be it. You know, that makes her happy. That's all that matters.
You know, ever since, and they admitted it, so I don't feel like I'm talking out of school here because they admitted it on the air. Ever since the two girls came in here and were talking about getting Botox, I have just been totally blown away that this is something that's going on the local level now.
Well, I mean, it's hard being a woman, and I just went through a hysterectomy and menopause, and I see lines that I've never seen before, and I've actually thought about that. So I'm all about, if it makes you feel better about yourself, it makes you feel more confident, why not? If you're not hurting anybody else, go for it.
Well, right, and I don't criticize the Botox, but I guess to me, I just, you know, this has been a thing we certainly have all known about, but I wonder how many people are doing it, because you look at people sometimes and you think, wow, they're aging pretty well, but I wonder how much of it's artificial.
I'd say probably quite a bit.
Probably quite a bit. You got it. Hey, thanks for calling.
Okay, have a good Friday.
Yep.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, there you go. Quarter till the top of the hour here, 45 minutes past the hour. I don't know. The whole Botox thing is just fascinating to me. And I'm not saying it's bad at all. I really don't know the health issues with Botox. But if you want to do it, I guess do it. But that it's happening, that people are like, oh, okay, well, I get up this morning and I stop by the grocery store and then I went and got some Botox and then I stopped by the library. You know, you didn't hear that years ago. This is the new society we live in. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Well, this all started with talking about how to get grease off an electric skillet, or how to get grease out of a pan when you're cleaning it so you don't ruin the dish towels. And I tell you, the second part of this whole dish towel thing is, once you clean something that has a lot of grease on it, when you throw that greasy dish towel in the hamper to be washed, if there is anything else in that hamper that it touches, you know, it gets grease all over it. So this is a mess. I guess you just got to run your washing machine right then so you don't get grease on everything in your hamper. Has anybody ever done that? Has anybody ever put their clothes in the hamper and then forgotten that days earlier they put their clothes in the hamper, and then they take a caked up greasy dish towel that they've used to clean something and they throw it in the hamper on top of the clothes that were already in there, and you get the grease spots on it and you ruin the clothes? You know, years ago I was told that the best way to get grease out of clothes, and I have seen this work, is you take the item of clothing and you take the Dawn dish soap. I guess any dish soap would probably work, but for some reason we always seem to go to Dawn. And you just pour it on the spot. And then you kind of rub it in, and then you let it sit for like a day. And then you wash it. And apparently that lifts the grease out of your clothing. And I have seen that work. So I don't disagree with that one. Now, I'm getting some things here on social media that people use paper towels, not dish towels, when they're cleaning a greasy item. Now, that's probably a smarter way to go. But in your hands feel so funny after you clean something that's been all greased up. Does anybody have any tips on any of this? We're talking deviled eggs this morning. We're talking how to get grease off of electric skillets and out of pans without making a complete mess. All kinds of topics. 740-383-9944. All right. Well, you know, I said I went to the grocery store yesterday, and I'll tell you something funny. I think a lot of people work off of you know, some sort of a budget. I think you go into the grocery store and you say, well, I'm going to spend this much money. But here's the problem. You get in the grocery store, and if you're buying a fair amount of groceries, you forget how much money you're racking up. because you look at this and you say, well, that's a good deal, and you throw it in the cart, and you go to the next aisle and you say, oh, that's a good deal, and you throw that in the dish cart or the grocery cart, and then you get up to the checkout and you say, okay, well, this was my cap today. And you end up usually, I think, about $15 to $20 above what you wanted to spend. Now, are there any good home economists out there who, how they handle that? How do they deal with it? Do you just order your groceries online now and you've already paid for it beforehand and you don't have to worry about it? Don't actually go to the store anymore? You know, home economist used to be a big thing. There used to be home economist on the radio, home economist on the television. That's become a forgotten thing. I don't know where that went. You know, home economist used to tell you how to do a lot of things. You know, balance your checkbook, clean certain items, take care of your house, go to the grocery store, operate on a budget. I guess we don't have any home economists anymore. I remember, well, I've heard, it was a little bit before my time, but there was a home economist in this area, and it was a phony person. I think it was through the gas company, Betty Newton. There were Betty Newtons all over this country. I'm still not sure what she was supposed to be doing. Go ahead, caller.
You know, you're talking about home economists?
Yes.
That's something the school curriculum needs to get back in the schools, home economics.
Well, you know what? Do they still have home ec? I don't know.
I don't think so.
Well, I wonder why that went by the wayside.
Probably went by the wayside like some of the other things that have gone, you know, cursive writing, et cetera, et cetera. And I don't know.
You know, I'll tell you,
this test, and the government forcing them to test. The government should leave the states to their own education's curriculum and everything instead of sticking their nose in it and, you know, kind of blackmailing you. If you don't meet this standard, we're not going to fund you, which is kind of counter to the whole bloody purpose of education, you know?
Well, I'll tell you, it's funny to me because people really got angry about this cursive thing a few years ago, and they're still complaining about it today, but cursive, as I think it's in the schools. I have not seen where it's been removed, so I don't know if people just heard that and now they run with it, but the kids that I have been around in school as of late, they write in cursive.
Well, you know, a lot of things. It's the keyboard. Oh, you got to learn the keyboard. Oh, keyboarding. Distributive ed, they used to teach, they used to teach typing classes. I don't know whether they do teach keyboarding classes now in grade schools and stuff. But the simple fact of the matter is, a lot of people are so illiterate they can't put together a simple sentence. I remember the anguish, the hell of diagramming sentences in English. Was that going on when you were going to school?
Yeah, I remember diagramming sentences. But, you know, honestly, where did that ever pay off in life? I mean, that's one of those things. Now, I can understand algebra. I can understand geometry because it's problem solving. The diagramming the sentence, I really never understood.
Well, I mean, it takes the sentence, and you can see what each word, how it relates to other words in making a sentence that communicates, that, you know, plain and simple, communicates. When you speak with somebody from a foreign country that has broken English, it's kind of difficult to understand. Well, gee whiz, there are a lot of people that are out there running around. Particularly, you know, one thing that bothers me is the bastardization of the English language. Some of the phrases and things like that that are commonplace, and in particular, some nouns that have become proper, or some pronouns that have become proper pronouns. you know, things like that. It's just, and if you you read any newspaper, the Dispatch or even the Marion Star, big mistake not having proofreaders. The typos, the syntactical errors, and all those kinds of things that enable people to communicate. I mean, that's why we started the school systems. If I recall, back in the 1800s, the whole idea was to educate society. And, you know, we've gotten somewhere, but where are we?
Well, I don't know. I think sometimes things go by the wayside for a certain reason. But it's much like a lot of other things in life that people are quick. They know what the people mean, but they see the error and they feel the need to point out the error. And a lot of times the person is completely aware of the error, yet it's a certain type of person that wants to point it out to you. If I've understood what you've said, and I get what you said, and obviously I do, or I would not be correcting you, I don't know what that does for me. Especially, now a teacher on a paper, that's not seen by anybody but the teacher and the student, so I can see it there. But when you're doing it in a group of people, in front of a group of people, I see it a lot on social media. When you do it on social media, I don't know, are you trying to make yourself seem like you know what's going on? To me, that's a little strange, because if I get what you meant, I don't really feel the need to tell you how you wrote it wrong.
Then we should all be speaking in Cockney.
Well, I don't know, because I think people misuse those words too.
Well, it's like anything, it's a discipline. And practicing the proper technique makes you more and more proficient at that. When you write a letter to somebody and you've got poor English, people are going to go, is this person ignorant or what?
Yeah, but you also know something that gets talked, tone of voice. Now, some people just have a very delightful tone of voice. And some people have a very condescending tone of voice. But they never realize that. It's funny because they don't realize it. And nobody ever walks up to them and go, your voice is really condescending. And maybe that's why you don't have things happen for you the way you want.
Whoa, wait a minute. Their voice, how can a voice be condescending?
Oh.
It's the words. That are chosen by the person to speak and their intonation.
Now, I think emails have shown us that inflection does matter.
Oh, absolutely. When you hear, and that's one of the strange phenomenons with email. When you get an email from somebody you know and have known for a long time, when you read that, you hear their voice.
Yeah, you but know. I'll tell you.
However, someone else, there's something lost there.
Yeah, but it's just if somebody says something and they're trying to be funny and you say, wow, what a joke. You're up. You're saying, hey, that's very funny. But if you say, wow, what a joke, now that's condescending. And that's the exact same words, but it's all tone of voice.
It's all inflection.
Right, and I don't think people realize that their tone of voice is condescending sometimes, and they do lose positions, and they do lose friends, and they do lose things, because they come off very condescending.
Well, and then with email and texting and everything, you have the emoticons, and those, to me, I don't know. Some of them that are out there and the way people use them is quite juvenile, So.
Well, I don't know. Like, I find that people a lot of times when they're trying to seem very nose up in the air, they'll try to use British words. We've all seen this. Because the British, I guess, to people sound very prim and proper. So if they're trying to say, maybe I should be a little better, they'll change their voice. And you know, it's whatever people want to do. But I think that inflection does matter. And I think, you know, if somebody mispronounces something or uses a word too much, well, let them. It's their loss in the end if it costs them a job somewhere down the line, I guess.
Yeah. It's like when some woman in a movie said, oh, I bought this Versace jacket, when it's everybody that she was trying to impress knew it's Versace.
And he didn't end up well in the end anyway.
Well, hey, eyes like daggers, I guess you could say.
There you go. Thanks for calling.
Bye.
Bye-bye. All right. We're going to break. Back with the Family Feud in 15 minutes.
That's going to take an extra one. I had 1 year coming, so I did that 1 year. And they were fine with me. You know, Colin Powell said it best to me. When the train gets to the last stop, you get off. And nothing is forever. Never own the camera.